Hi, this is Tyler.
And I'm Keisha.
Jason.
And you are listening to The Solar Coaster. Ah! All right, everybody. We are here back on The Solar Coaster. What's up? We have a new guest.
What's cracking?
Well, it's actually an old timer, but first to the show.
Yes. She was one of the first employees that we hired.
Like, well, then why are we just 11 years having ago. Her on now?
That's a good question.
I haven't been invited.
11 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, dang girl, if you add it all
what together, year did you graduate high school?
12.
Yeah. So 11 years ago. She graduated high school and then started with us.
Oh, wow.
And then went.
Quit. Now you're running the thing.
And she left us, broke up.
And said.
Went to college.
It's not as good. The green isn't always.
Got a big girl job.
The grass isn't always greener. What did I say?
Yeah.
It's early.
Yeah.
It's early.
And then I came back.
And then here you are.
Welcome, Taylor.
Thank you.
Now, excited to have you because you know a lot of things.
I do.
Yeah. A lot of things about this industry.
Or a little about a lot.
A little bit a lot.
Ask her about her plant and crystal game.
You know what? We should do that. We did a podcast with IT company. And after talking to them, we realized how gnarly and big the D&D world is, right? Dungeons and Dragons and how all... Whole
he
show on how to do that.
I know. Lost me at Dungeon and Dragons,
I know,
bro.
But it was super interesting.
No, it's not. No, we're not going to go there at all.
They'll listen. Yes, they will.
No, it's not.
But today, we are going to be talking. What are we talking about today?
What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about how wonderful the grid is? Do you want to talk about electric vehicles?
Yes, I do.
What do you want to do?
Because I'm frustrated with this whole grid thing, and I think we need to talk about it.
Okay.
All right, boom.
Well, why don't we start with explaining PG&E and how they just recorded a 25% revenue increase year over year. And that's $2.2 billion with a B in earnings. That's billion with a B, by the way.
And
did you ever say billions with a B?
I did. And today is February what?
27.
So they just recorded this. When? January 20?
I think last week they announced it that there was a 25% increase. So last year they didn't do very good either. They only had $1.8 billion with a B in revenue.
$1.8.
So 25% increase to $2.2 billion year over year.
So they release this, stock goes up, everybody makes money, everybody's happy to a certain degree.
Everybody that lives in other states that doesn't buy power from PG&E that owns the stock loves it.
Yeah. They're like, this is awesome. But meantime, everybody who's on it, in California, is like, this is BS.
Yep.
Are you on it, PG&E?
Yeah.
You have to be?
Are you on it? She goes, no. Wait, what? It is early.
Are you with us? So as of today, what a PG&E Corporation 16.56 is the stock. So they're going up. They're green. So the earnings comes out. They make a lot of money. And here we are. Well, and what was that tied to?
What was it tied to?
Yeah.
Rate increases.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just rate increases.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they associating that with? Like, why?
Well, let's talk about how... Can I say the F word on this?
You can. It's yours. It's your show.
Let's talk about how F worded. Let's talk about how messed up the state of the grid in California is.
I think it's a great thing to start with.
Yeah. So it's failing. Everybody knows it's failing. Everybody's probably familiar with rolling blackouts. Mm-hmm. Everybody's probably familiar with the power's out.
Yeah. It just happened.
I don't really care about the lights, but how do I charge my phone? What about the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the water's not running. Like, it doesn't work like that, son. But okay.
So yeah, everybody, I don't think anybody listening to this podcast can say that they haven't experienced a rolling blackout or a blackout from PG&E.
No.
And that's because the infrastructure is horrible. They're a publicly traded company and their responsibility as a publicly traded company is what?
To make money for shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I would assume.
Yeah.
That's why you invest in it.
Why are you going to buy stock if you're not going to make money on it?
Yeah. Right?
If they're like, no, our goal for the next 10 years is to reinvest in the infrastructure and it's going to cost us a bunch of money. You should buy our stock. What's going to happen? Nobody's going to buy the stock. Everybody's going to sell and the company's going to go to the shitter.
Right.
So
unless they can make a promise and go, no, this is going to be better for it. Here's why. It's all the green initiative. But they can't do that, can they?
I don't think green initiative is still good. Like, you're going to have that in your portfolio to retire?
Green initiative?
Like a loss? We have a loss leader. You want this? So anyway, it's one of those things. If you look at the technology, you look at the transformers that are on the light pole outside.
Yeah.
It's the same transformer that Alexander Graham Bell created. Hundreds of years
back
ago.
In the day,
they've done no R&D whatsoever. They don't care.
Stupid question, real quick. Yeah. You just thought of it. When did Alexander Graham Bell invent those?
Maybe we could have your researcher on the podcast look that up. Would you look that up for me right
Jamie.
Now? Jamie, can you look that up? We'll cut back to that. I have no idea.
Well, I'm trying to think of it. If it was 150, which that's what I would assume. That is not a long time.
When did Alexander Graham Bell invent electricity? Here's what I found.
Is this something we should know?
No.
No, but it's interesting because I would bet it's about 150.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, technology is exactly the same.
That's my point. Is 150 years, this company who has been progressive in growing and infrastructure has not changed or grown.
Boom. No R&D at all. Imagine if it was like a vehicle manufacturer.
Yeah.
If the Model T Ford was the only thing they still made, do you think people would buy it?
I mean, no.
It would if it was the only car that was available.
Right, right. So then they know that they can.
And they have a monopoly on it. It's not like I'm going to say, no, I'm going to get my power from T-Funk over here. You know what I mean?
T-Funk.
So in addition to that, there's a growing demand for electricity, which is ridiculous. In California, they're changing legislation to where in 3 years, all new homes can no longer have gas appliances. So you're going to have an electric stovetop. You're going to have an electric heat pump for heating in the house. You're going to have everything electric, clothes dryer, you know, water heater.
That's everything.
In addition to that, there's legislation passed that in 2035, no new vehicles are allowed that are gas powered. So it's going to be all electric vehicles, right?
And this is all set in stone. This isn't a what if. This is not
this is all set in stone. Yeah.
1877, by the way.
1877.
Oh, found it.
Mm-hmm. More than 150. Mathematician,
that's
can you tell us
what that is? That's a long time ago.
That's about 225
years. Okay, I was close. I was 50 years off.
Yeah.
Whatever. But that's a long time that everything you drive around in 2024 with your magic freaking electric machine that does everything. And there you look up.
And you're like, that Transformers from 247 years ago.
Yeah.
And they don't replace them until they blow up, right? Like, why would you?
Yeah, working.
They're not like, we're going to go out and replace all the Transformers that are 10 years older. I mean, if you get a warranty, when you buy a Transformer, the warranty is no longer than 1 year. And those things are 50 years old, 30 years old that are out there.
Wait, seriously?
Seriously.
So anybody who's putting power on their property, they buy X amount of acres, they say, hey, come out and put power. Mm-hmm. That Transformer, they pulled it out of some yard.
If it's a
somewhere.
Brand, no, it's different if it's brand new.
Oh, but they're talking about.
Do you think that one on the pole out there on Highway 174 and 80 is brand new? Or do you think that's been out there for 10 or 20 years or 30 years?
Probably 30, yeah.
And then they don't replace it until it blows up. And when it blows up, it usually causes a wildfire and people lose their houses and their lives and everything else. But guess what? $2.2 billion in revenue. Yeah. Come on.
We're profitable. Invest. Yeah. Damn.
In 2022, the average house used 35 kilowatt hours per day. What does that mean? So a kilowatt of power times an hour of use that's the way that
people that's the way they calculate it
for power.
Okay.
Yeah. A Rivian truck uses 70 kilowatt hours. So it's two times what the average household used in 2022. Now, if you had two vehicles or let alone three, like some households do, or some families in my neighborhood have five, six kids and there's five, six vehicles, multiply 70 times 5, 6, and the infrastructure can't keep up with what we have today.
Your home can't keep up with that. How do you suck out all the energy on all those?
That's exactly it. Yeah. And it's one of those things where we can't even keep up now because we have rolling blackouts and we can't keep power fed to our house as it is, but we're going to change all these things. You should, if I'm not doing a good job selling moving to California, I don't know who can do a better job. Come on out. Water's fine. Electricity's expensive.
The deep end is nice.
Weather's great.
The infrastructure sucks. Yeah. Come on out.
Yeah. It's a little sus out here.
Sus. It's so mid right now.
It's so mid.
It's dog water, bro.
Taxes are cap.
So yeah, it's crazy the amount of infrastructure and then what's changing. But I don't want to make people scared about electric vehicles at the same time because they do help a lot. But before we move on, we talked about the status of the grid and how there's billions of dollars being recorded by PG&E. And you said, what does that come from? We said rate increases.
Right.
People don't actually realize what those rate increases look like. When I started in the industry, 2012, the average increase of utility costs per year for a 30-year period was 7%.
Every year.
That was the average in California across all utilities was 7% per year over a 30-year period. So when I started our first proposal software, I said, let's not use the average. Let's be more conservative because I'd rather go in and show a worse payback and make somebody make the decision on worse numbers than have them be better.
Makes sense.
So to this day, our proposal software assumes a 5.5% rate of inflation on utility costs. And like I said, we set that up based on the 7% when we first got into the industry. What do you think the rates have actually gone up since 2012 or 13? What do you think the rates have actually gone up?
More than 7?
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. What have they gone up?
Do you know anything about the rates, Taylor? Why don't you talk to us about it?
Sure. Okay. So we were looking at numbers, and the tier one rate was 13 cents in 2013.
Per kilowatt hour.
Per kilowatt hour.
Yeah. So like back then there was what?
That's their metric. That's what you're going, all right, for this kilowatt hour, it costs this.
13. It used to be a four-tier system. They always make it so confusing that you never really know what the hell's going on.
So nobody looks into it.
Yeah. But the lowest rate you could buy power for was 13 cents back then.
Right. And then it went up to 30 cents in 2023. And so that is a 234% increase in the last 10 years.
Holy smokes. Yeah.
10 years, 234%.
If you could guess how many people are in California, was it like 20 million, something like that?
Sure.
Or whatever. How many think actually know that?
None.
No one.
Zero. It's just go about your day, whatever.
Like black and white suit with the hood, none.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Catholic church, none.
Really? None of them.
N-U-N, none.
How would you get up and like revolt and be like, this is bullshit?
Because nobody understands it. I mean,
and you don't want to go through the effort of pulling yourself off the grid.
Yeah. And it's like, they'll have, okay, the CEC says we're going to raise rates. Like they just did the other day. They said, PG&E came out and said, we're going to raise rates 14% again next month. And so the CEC.
Is it month over month?
Yes. Next month, they're going to raise it again. Well, before we go on.
24?
Okay. So we were up what? In 10 years, it was how much?
Okay. So in 10 years, it was up 234%. And then from, you said the end of 2023?
That's 23% a year.
Yeah. But in the last 6 months,
it
was what?
In the last 6 months, it's gone up 133%.
So it was 237 in 10 years and then one what?
133%.
133 in the last 6 months. And then they're going to raise it again another 14% next month.
Why don't I hear about this stuff?
Because they'll take the average bill, which includes like an apartment that's 300 square feet with other houses, right?
Yeah.
And so they'll say, okay, if the average bill is $100, it's going to raise the rate by $14 a month to the average consumer. That's the way that it'll come out. And then they'll...
But that's not true.
The CEC will take public comment, but no one understands it well enough to even... know how to fight it.
Except the solar companies who are like, no, we have to look into this every day.
And whenever we go to the CEC, it takes like, it's an hour long meeting and the meeting will go 8 hours and they have to cut public comment off because everybody has something to say and then they don't really care.
That's by design.
Do you know how the CEC is put together, who those people are?
No, okay. I don't even know. Yeah, I keep thinking you say CDC.
No, California Energy Commission. So the California Energy Commission manages all the utilities and it's their responsibility to keep them in check and to approve whether or not they can rightfully raise rates and all that kind of stuff.
So it's the quote unquote governing body.
It's the governing body. It's the California Energy Commission that makes the final decision on whether or not rates can be increased, whether there's policy changes, all that kind of stuff. So if PG&E, Southern California Edison, anybody wants to raise rates, they usually do pretty good at something that's called collusion, where you get together and say, let's do this together as a team.
All the homies.
It's supposed to be against the law. If you were a bank, you'd go to prison for life. But since it's a utility and you contribute to campaigns, it's totally fine. It's this state is amazing, by the way.
Come on over.
Come on in. Water's fine. The California Energy Commission is 5 members who are appointed by the governor.
Oh, homie. Got my homies. Yeah. So, okay.
Rolling with the homies. The governor is elected, and then the governor decides, I'm going to put 5 of my homies all up in this spot.
Right.
And do you know the re-election campaign for our current governor? Do you know what percentage of his campaign was funded by the utilities in California?
No.
80. Do you think there might be some sort of sway on, maybe, let's put some people in place who can help these people that are going to help me get re-elected? What about when I run for president?
Yeah.
You guys going to be there for me? Oh, hell, 14%. Mm-hmm. Got a 14% chance. Mm-hmm. $2.2 billion. Got 2.2 billion reasons why you're going to be president.
Every time I get on here and do this, I always get frustrated. I leave here going,
welcome to California. Yeah.
So as you're talking, right, there's got to be something that could be done. So like, obviously at the end of this, we're actually in the show, right? Just like, what can be done? If I'm probably going to live in a home, let's say I stay in California for, I don't know, do an average lifespan. I'm 46 now, another 40 years. 40 years times, what was the average increase? About 10% a year?
No, well, no, it was 370 over the last 12 years or something.
So 23. Let's do 23%.
Yeah. Sure.
40 years times 23%. That's 920%.
Mm-hmm.
Times, so, what's the average of a 23% increase on a bill? 10. But what I'm trying to do is go calculate does it make sense for me to say, F you now, up pay the upfront cost, $10,000 in a generator battery just to go boom for the long-term play
yeah.
of bouncing after 40 to 50 years of playing their fucking game.
So I think the easiest thing would be to look at what your annual expenses for electricity. Like, we just looked at yours before you had
solar.
So
say $1,200 bucks?
It was $4,000 is what you paid. $4,000 or $5,000 for the year. So do $4,000 or $5,000 times whatever that percentage.
Let's say I stay in California for another 40 years.
Uh-huh.
$160,000.
That's what your electric bill will be. Yeah.
Correct.
Congratulations.
That's not counting
in. I'm hoping that I have that much per kid for a college fund, let alone pay the electric bill.
So versus what does it cost for a 10 coagulabyte battery?
Well, are you talking battery or solar? Or?
Let's do solar. Let's do battery.
Well, a 10 kilowatt hour battery?
Yeah.
I think it's, I'm going to have to ask one of our salespeople off the top of my head. I think it's like $13,000 after.
Perfect. Rates. So $13,000. Boom. How much is it if I wanted to get a generator? Let's just call it whatever generator. Generac.
Call it 16,000.
Okay, 16,000. That's got you a savings of 131,000 that you could probably.
Well, you need to have solar too.
So another 20?
Yeah.
Minus right. 20. Okay, you have another $111,000 over the next 40 years that you could probably invest in something like gold.
Or you're not even doing you're not even doing the calculation right, because if it's 23% per year, it's compounded because it's 23% yeah. of the year right. before that.
That's what I was gonna say.
So it's probably like $8 million.
Now. Right, exactly. Yeah. Future. Yeah. This is in today's dollars.
Yeah. Well, so what'd you say it was? 23%?
23%.
Hold my mic.
Okay, so while he's doing a calculation, uh-huh. how much of this do you see like on a monthly basis? You just look at this and just shake your head.
With PG&E stuff?
Yeah.
I guess every day with Chasen. We have clients calling in all the time being like, what the heck, what's going on?
Is that a lot of what you field is the, yeah. wait a minute, I thought the sun uh-huh. was going to make me rich.
Uh-huh. So
how do you guys handle that?
I pass it to Eddie and Chasen.
$16 million is what that is with the compound interest of 23% per year. $16 million. $42,400.
So if you took that $4,000 a year and invested
it. I did $5,000.
Okay, $5,000 a year in average energy cost for this, what you just quoted me was on a sub 2,000 square foot home with a family of five.
That's to be totally off grid. You don't need all of that stuff if you want to be grid tight and still save money.
Yeah.
That's, you're saying generator, battery, solar, all that stuff so that you don't need the grid. That's what it would cost you.
Damn.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Well, and that's, I mean,
what if I didn't have it, which I didn't prior to solar, it was $4,000 a year.
Yeah, it was like four or five.
That's what I mean. So you multiply that times
1.23.
Yep. And then you get
hit equals on your calculator 40 times and then you get $16 million. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have that in my account.
Yeah, me too.
Versus.
And guess what? No more blackouts.
Yeah. How long can those last? Well, I guess, I mean, that's kind of a moot. Well.
Okay, so the battery has a warranty of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The solar has a warranty of 25.
Mm-hmm.
Generators, I think, have a warranty of like a year because it's got a gas motor, but they last at least 10, 15 years if you service them and take care of them.
Totally. Yeah,
you're only using the generator. So the theory is you have the sun charges your batteries.
Mm-hmm.
You use the load, you use the electricity from the sun if you have the load during the day. If not, it charges your batteries. You use the batteries at night. If
mm-hmm.
the sun doesn't come out because it's snowing or it's raining or there's a wildfire because a transformer blew up
mm-hmm.
that PG&E didn't service. I'm sorry, I keep going back to that.
There's
smoke, then you would rely on the generator as a backup plan for the sun not generating.
Got it. Which could, if it's full charge is, I mean, whatever.
It charges your battery backup and then you use your battery.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Like that's the thing. A lot of people, my mom, for example, has a whole house generator. When the power goes out, which she's, you know, in the mountains, it goes out a lot. Her generator runs all night, which sucks. You don't want to listen to
all night.
Okay.
That's a really good generator sound.
Yeah. All night. You want to shoot yourself in the face, right?
All right.
Okay.
Or use your battery. Well, I mean,
You want to charge your battery. That's the whole point. You want to charge your battery, so you use the battery at night and you don't have to listen to it.
Right. Well, the concept of it makes sense. A lot of people in the like prep or overlanding or survival community is like, no, this, they do it on a small scale with their wherever, they do it on a large scale with all their houses. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, and that's just it. Every year we always go to the International Solar Conference, Derek, my partner, and I, and we look at what's the new technology, and then we sit down, you know, a couple days in and grab dinner and talk through, here's what we saw, what do you think the future is,
what do you want to rep.
Yeah. And this last time we were talking, we're looking at all the technology with batteries and everything else. We're like, dude, 80% of the show was batteries.
Yeah.
What do you think the future holds? And he looked at me and he's like, there's not going to be a grid. And I was like, really? You think so? Like, you think the technology's there? I don't think it's there yet.
Sounds like he said it so matter-of-factly.
Like, he's like, I guarantee you in 10 years, I won't have a meter in my house. I will guarantee you that right now. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense for you and I. Right? No.
They got a pool going.
No, but it was, show me yours.
Yeah.
So I sat and thought about it and I was like, dude, you're probably right.
Yeah.
The grid sucks. It's not sustainable to continue to raise these prices.
Yeah.
Especially if you're putting in a new development. If I'm KB Homes and I'm going to put in 200 homes, am I going to pay PG&E to pull all these lines out here? Or am I just going to put in a microgrid where I have a generator, batteries, and solar, and then I'm the utility provider and I get to have this passive income? And it's probably going to be at 10% of the rate of what PG&E is.
Would be the passive income?
Yeah, why
they
not?
Would get it?
The builder, why not? Why wouldn't you?
How would they get it? They would
because
charge the homeowner?
They would build the microgrid that provided power, and they would charge the same way that the PG&E would.
Oh my gosh, that is revolutionary.
Right?
So I've never heard that.
A bunch of mini utilities.
Every development would have a microgrid, and if they wanted to play nice in the sandbox, they would interconnect their microgrids to another one in case something went down.
There's got to be builders thinking about this.
If they're not, they should. You know,
are you going around talking to them?
That's like, why we hired
facilitate.
You.
You could, dude. There, how much would a microgrid be? There's communities that are just 100 especially, homes or 20,
especially
or
30. Especially when there's tax credits that, and if you're doing it as a commercial application, you get 30% tax credit plus depreciation. So more than half of it's paid for by the government. So why wouldn't you as a developer? And then you have passive. It's probably a 1-2 year payback for them, and then they're gonna have passive income for 25 years. So that's like, Derek's like, that's what we need to do next. I'm like, cool, dude, you got an investor? Because I just checked my piggy bank and I got about $16.
But you need about five cons.
By the way, I need you to pick up the tab on this dinner. Yeah. Lend me a dollar.
So is that a solution to, that's a question for you. Is that a solution to fixing the grid or is that just a Band-Aid to do that?
The microgrid?
Mm-hmm. What would you think?
What else would you do?
If the grid goes away, I legit, when you say that.
I'm answering a question with a question.
I know, right?
Pretty good.
Yeah. I see your question. And I don't want
to
talk.
My life. Like, hey, I don't understand why the net's higher than the gross. Did you want a cheeseburger? I'm like, how did that answer my question?
I said, did you want sauce? That's what I asked you. No, but I hear no grid. I envision just chaos. Like, no grid is airports, manufacturing, LA.
I think
San
they're all
going
to figure it out. I think they're all going to have all their own shit. Why would you? Why would you continue to pay these rates when it fails you all the time anyway?
Yeah.
True.
If the technology's there that you can put it on your rooftop and
why wouldn't you?
Exactly. I mean, it's either that or PG&E is going to go bankrupt and the government will have to take it over and then it'll somehow have to be sustainable to where they can't.
The government's like, I got another.
We don't have to turn a profit. We can break even or lose money because it's fed by taxes, right? So
we don't want to get in a government conversation.
Yeah, but that's the only thing I can think of because the only way that like the grid is going to be sustainable is if there isn't a push to show returns to shareholders on the grid's behalf. Does that make sense? It's like it's like saying we have to show a return to shareholders for water or for soil.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like basic human needs, air. In order for us to breathe oxygen, we have to start showing a return on it.
That doesn't make sense.
No. And so it's one of those like basic necessities that it's like, how is it even okay to have it mandatory that you have a return on investment for a basic need for human life?
If you were going to fix the grid, how would you do it? They said, DC, Chasen, Derek, you have 1 year, 12 months, fix it. Let me preface that. Not you go in and implement. Give me the plan. What would you do?
What would the plan be? You're talking about 150 years of neglect being fixed overnight, which is impossible. It's like gaining 30 pounds and then going to the gym and wanting to, you know, it takes you a year and a half to gain 30 pounds.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take you to lose it? It's not overnight. It's going to take
5 years.
It's going to take a year and a half
at least. I'm on year 4.5.
So if you're looking at, okay, 150 years of neglect, if you look at it from like a losing weight, gaining weight perspective, we're so far gone that I don't even know that it can, you're going to have
made. So your answer would be like, well, there's no point because it's going to fail anyways. It's so old.
You would have to invest a lot of money.
Well, let's say you had unlimited. What would you do?
The $2.2 billion in returns.
Yeah.
You would have to reinvest that every single year for the next 30 to 50 years.
But what would you go, listen, across the state of California, how many counties? I don't know. Let's say there's 100 counties. Each county manages its own micro and they take care of it themselves. Like what would be, like if you were going to reinvest it, like would you make everybody go solar?
That's a really, really good question. And I wish you would have asked me that yesterday.
So you could think about it. I like putting you on the spot. It makes you think.
No shit. I don't know. Because then the conversation of like economies of scale come up, like, okay, would it be more beneficial to have 100 different companies trying to operate rather than having one? And you can eliminate some of that cross.
Well, that would be the
redundancies and all
how
that kind of
you
stuff.
Do it. Yeah. If you had a magic, well, like 12 months. Okay, here's the plan. Every county is going to do this, and this is how you're going
to
do it.
I think you would have to eliminate the fact that it's a profit-driven thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only solution.
So your solution is take the greed out of it.
Take the greed out of it. That's the only way that
flip
it's going
to
be sustainable.
PG&E to a 501.
It would need to be a government entity. That's the only thing I can think of. Because even if you said, okay, we're a nonprofit. We all know that the CEOs of nonprofits make millions of dollars.
And, yeah,
true.
I'm okay with paying a person millions of dollars if you're doing right by and fixing by and making it better. Because to your point, if you did that, each county had a microgrid, you made it nonprofit. All these little old boxes go away, right? You save money. Now you have a forestry arm of PG&E, and you go and do forest management. Your fires, all that stuff will ripple out. But I'm just curious of like, you see this all the time. At some point, you got to be like, man, you could fix it here, 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 and here.
I honestly think that we had a really good thing going before the governor changed the legislation this last time because they were providing tax incentives to build out. Basically, we know the grid can't handle itself.
The NEM?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what they were doing was they were providing, sorry, where were we?
You were fixing the power grid.
Everything was doing better before.
Oh, yeah. So the legislation was there so that in a sense, we know the grid can't take care of itself. We need to have private public partnership, right?
Yeah.
We need people to actually want to invest their own money into the infrastructure. So the tax credits were there and they worked because people were investing their own money to provide power to help feed the grid, right?
Yep.
That's what solar was all about.
Yep.
Now they change the infrastructure to where they're like, we're not going to give you money for that because we want need to show returns. And if you're feeding our grid and we're not charging you for the grid, we can't show $2.2 billion in return. And, oh, by the way,
We have a problem.
Yeah. So they changed the legislation. Even if they allowed for-profit companies or the utilities to keep profits in play,
yeah,
I still think they need to keep tax incentives and the way in which they compensate people for producing power to help the grid viable.
Yeah. You're becoming a part of the spider web. You're part of the network.
Yeah.
You should have a say.
It's essentially adding to the, it's a microgrid because you're adding stuff to their grid. So it's allowing people to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they got freaked out because all of a sudden they can't show the revenue growth that they need and they continue to raise rates because less people are buying power.
Yeah.
Right. And now they're going, okay, we're not going to compensate you the same way. So
they're changing the rules as you come up. And it's crazy because now you have this whole mandate of everything's got to be electric. So why would you, I mean, if you built a shelf and you just piled weights and weights and weights and weights and somebody's like, you can't put that 45 plate on there. They're like, fuck it. Everybody's got to put their 45 pound plate. And it just goes, boom.
Yeah.
That's essentially what you're describing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it all just crashes and rolling blackouts and nobody's got power and everybody's fed up.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Super pumped.
Welcome to California.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
does any other state have this? You just made me think.
No.
No.
Meanwhile, in Idaho, for example,
yeah.
I think they still pay 6 cents a kilowatt hour for power unlimited. 6 cents. We're paying 56 at some of the top tiers.
Yeah. What is it?
And that doesn't include like demand charges and transmission charges and fees and everything else. So yeah, if Idaho can do it for 6 cents without raising rates, they might be at eight now. I might be a little overzealous, but
they don't have as much sun as we got.
No,
I used to live there.
It's not even, it's all, you know what it is? You know where their power comes from?
Mm.
It's all from dams.
Oh, it's hydro.
It's hydro. Yep.
Oh yeah, there's a
lot. And you don't think we have rivers in California that we can put dams and hydro wheels on?
Oh, I do. But then everybody who wants that little fishy frog thing to go and.
Yeah. So interesting. Isn't that weird?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hmm. Idaho used to be in my territory, and I went out to this wastewater treatment plant that our company ran, and I'm talking to the director because they had a power plant right next to it. And I go, what do you guys pay for power here? He goes, I don't know. Let me pull one of my utility bills, because I'm thinking, oh, this could be an opportunity for me. It looks like 6 cents a kilowatt hour. Is that bad? I'm like bad, like high schooler, like you won. Like,
yeah, what? Yeah. It's badass, dude.
Did I break it?
You're like, no.
The light's shining and the siren's going off. Does that mean I won?
What about Nevada and Arizona, like all those? Because I'm thinking those states are sunny.
Yeah.
Same thing?
It's still way cheaper. Yeah. Even if you look at the utilities like Roseville Electric.
Yeah.
I think they pay 15 cents a kilowatt hour right now. 16 maybe tops.
I would like to talk with you about a generator and a battery to get off. I'd love to just not pay them at all.
Because Roseville Electric is not a for-profit entity.
Mm.
They don't have to show returns to their shareholders. And every time
they're for-profit, though?
No, it's owned by the city of Roseville. Yeah.
Didn't know that.
And guess what? Every time there's a rolling blackout, guess who doesn't lose power?
Yeah, yeah.
Roseville Electric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if I would have known that, I would have bought a house in Roseville.
Roseville.
Yeah. And not Lincoln. I love Lincoln, by the way, best city in the world.
Yeah, but still.
Shout out to Lincoln. Once we get rid of PG&E, we're going to kick Roseville's ass.
Meet us out back in Auburn. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Well, okay, so I know we talked about all this stuff. What is going on up
What's
there?
What's happening?
Grandma's having a party.
Grandma? So,
grandma, her name's Dee.
I know Dee, yeah.
Yeah, her...
Dee Rain!
Yeah, her son was one of our best friends growing up, and grandma was bored, and we love having grandma. She's like the cheerleader that comes in and keeps the spirit alive here.
Yeah.
So
she works
a
couple days a week for like an hour or two.
Comes and says hi.
When she wants to. She'll be like, bye, and I'm like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Why are you leaving? Because I want to. I'm taking the next 3 weeks off because I'm going to Arizona to see Michelle. I'm like, did you clear that with someone? She's like, yeah, Michelle told me I could.
She throws up a peace sign and she zips away in his Tesla.
Yeah,
bye, bitches.
She doesn't care.
Out.
So yeah, so the whole thing about now having the mandate of all this, it makes sense now of the collapse of it.
Yeah.
So can the American, not American, California public say no? Or this is already, I guess it can't because it's already passed.
Can we go on strike?
So guess what? If there's a new governor who's elected and that governor decides to appoint a new California Energy Commission, which is all how it works, everything could change tomorrow. So
dun, dun, dun.
I don't know much about politics, but I'm assuming our current governor's a Democrat. And if there was a Republican who got into office and wanted to change these things, it could absolutely be done.
Yeah. Even if a Democrat was like,
this still looks shady.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, if they, honestly, they come in and go, I don't know if we could be doing this.
Yeah. It could all change tomorrow.
See Taylor's face.
It's like an executive order, right?
Yeah.
As soon as there's a new change in governor, all this could change. Do you think it will?
You know, it's once you ring the bell, it's hard to unring it.
We're waiting for you to talk more, Taylor.
Yeah.
Did you ask me a question?
Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Solar Coaster. She's still trying to catch.
What a fitting name, though, because it is a freaking roller coaster. You got high, low, lows, and you're just like, am I going to get butt plugged today? Yep. There goes a 23% rate increase.
Well,
yep.
And let me tell you this, like since April 15th, when the legislation changed, 17,000 jobs in California have been lost.
Yeah, we've lost more since then.
Yeah, so that was a stat that came out like a month and a half ago, that the state of California lost 17,000 solar jobs since April.
Because of
the legislation change. So many companies have claimed Chapter 11, got out of business. One of them that's publicly traded, Sunworks, was a huge organization. They are doors shut.
They're gone?
Gone.
No way.
No longer in business.
It just didn't make sense
Infinity
anymore.
Energy, which is a huge company that's based out of Rockland, they're gone.
Oh.
Yeah, all these big companies
sucks,
are just,
dude.
You know, GAWN, gone, like the lawn.
Well, and we've gotten a few phone calls.
A lot.
Right? Well, yeah, we've gotten a handful of phone calls where the companies that have gone out of business, the clients are like, well, the system's done, but I paid for it. So
you got to go in there and fix it? And
yeah.
Keep it going.
Go and finish it.
And you're doing
complete
that.
Complete it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Out of the kindness of our heart, we don't make any money doing
for
that.
For free. Just kidding.
I'm like, what do you mean you only build half of your time, Taylor?
Yeah.
I'm all, well.
I just want to help.
I felt bad.
Yeah, but still.
Does that mean I only have to pay you for half your time? How does that work?
Dude, that's so crazy.
But yeah, there's been a lot like that have called that said the system was installed and they didn't do the paperwork with PG&E.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. That's
the whole point of the system.
Was that on purpose or did they forget it?
No, because it's the last step of the project. And so,
oh, so if they go under before then, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And
I have
what in the last like couple weeks, you've probably had three to five. Yeah, that have had that exact same issue. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
It's a mess.
And they just don't know what to do.
The client has no idea what to do because it's really the paperwork with PG&E. Again, another thing that they make super, I don't know, just
difficult,
overly difficult. Just doesn't need to be that hard. You have to like learn a new language to.
And every time you think you get it, they change the process.
And then they change it, and then they take 3 weeks to respond to you, and then they tell you that something's wrong or whatever. Yeah,
you missed a period right
mm-hmm,
here,
mm-hmm.
Dude.
Okay,
bad.
It's bad.
And they, you know, and it takes 3 weeks. Like they'll ask you like, oh, this form's not attached. And you pull up the email and you go, no, it's actually attached. Here's the email I'm re-forwarding to you.
Yeah.
And they respond 3 weeks later going, oh, okay. But I had a question about this. And you're like, dude, it's been 6 weeks and it's all right there.
The customer has got construction material and like panels on their house.
They've already paid for it.
They've already paid for everything in full. And now they're still paying for their PG&E bill.
Yeah. We have a client in Ukiah who has bought the system over a year ago and PG&E is still jacking with them and won't fully interconnect their system. And they're like, at this point, we talked to him yesterday and they're like, we want to get an attorney. I'm like, I don't blame you. I'm on your team. Let's see what we can do.
So why does PG&E do that? Because they know that another person that gets hooked up to the solar is now off there. They're not making money.
Revenue.
So the longer they can do it, they
just prolong it.
So like if our job was to give every American $150 and we got the money and we were putting it into an interest bearing account, would we want to hire a bunch of people to get rid of that money right away?
No, you don't want to.
Or would you have one person and have your office hours from like 1 p.m. to like 1:30 p.m. on Tuesdays? You know what I'm saying?
Hit me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just envision like at the regional, however they do it at PG&E, it's almost like Wolf of Wall Street. They're like, we ain't gonna take no more than that. They're just yelling, getting everybody hyped up, like, don't answer emails. If we take a minimum of 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
don't give them your phone number.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do get, I mean, we have a couple lists of supervisors, so we've been able to push some things up with them.
Yeah.
But
I always say like, stop paying your bill.
Yeah.
If you file a lawsuit, they can't turn your power off. Like that's the whole thing. Once a lawsuit's in play, it can't impact your credit, any of that stuff, right? Everything goes on freeze while the lawsuit's filed. I'm not advocating to file lawsuits, but if people were sick and tired of this, they could file a lawsuit, stop paying their bill until the thing was settled. And I guarantee that paperwork's going to get filled out real quick.
Or just hope that it doesn't ever get settled and you just kind of
let it go. Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, that's so wild. That's so wild. Well, we covered a lot.
Thanks for talking so much, Dan.
Yeah, I know. On the next one, you're going to be talking about it. The entire time. But we like having you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for showing up.
Right. Cool.
Yep.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.